Well, hey, everybody. We're at the end of the Back to Eden season of the Presence Pioneers podcast. I hope that you guys have enjoyed this season with my wife, Shepherd, and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had some great feedback from you guys and some encouragement. And I hope it was revelatory and helpful and biblical. And if you didn't catch all the episodes, you should go back and listen to them, right?
Yeah.
We talked about abiding in the vine, pruning, revival, being grafted in, seasons, timing, etc. It was great.
All the things.
All the things.
Yeah.
And so we just hosted the Back to Eden Festival here in Eastern North Carolina. Had a great weekend.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to share, we recorded the evening teaching times at the festival. And most of them were the two of us, but then there was one from Elliot Pearson, who's like a spiritual father to us. So we wanted to share that one for free with you guys as a little teaser. And then we've got the ones that Shepherd and I did at the festival that you can also check out if you're a paid subscriber only.
Oh.
Yeah. So bonus episodes for you guys. Thank you for being paid subscribers. Also, paid subscribers, we have another treat for you.
It's seats.
Literal seats.
So I don't know exactly what I'm going to throw in there for you yet. Probably some basil, because I feel like I referenced basil a lot. That might be our theme plant for this season on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I will have them all labeled, though. You will know what you are planting before you plant it.
Yeah. So we want to send you a free packet of seeds. I mean, Shepherd does.
I do.
I don't have any seeds. But
I have a lot of seeds.
Hopefully you've received the seed of the word of God.
Ooh.
Yeah. As we've taught that. But we want to send you literal seeds so you can plant them in your garden or start a garden or, I mean, could you plant them in pots in your house?
Plant them in pots inside, on a porch or balcony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just need your mailing address. If you're a paid subscriber, again, this is just for the paid subscribers, we're going to have a link to the form and we're going to give you an opportunity to give us your mailing address. And if you do, we'll send you a free treat. So we would love to do that. It's just another little fun way of saying thank you for subscribing and supporting the podcast. We can only produce this because of you guys and the Presence Pioneers partners. So anything else?
No, I'm excited. I'll label all the things. You should plant all the things and learn all the spiritual lessons.
There you go. So we're excited. We're going to have a new season of the podcast coming up in the new year. So stay tuned, everybody. And don't forget, God's presence changes everything.
It's important that we interact and share, and it's not just me up here teaching, but it's you interacting and engaging at the same time. So if I had to title where I'm talking about tonight, it would be cultivating my soul. Cultivating my soul. It's important to understand that we, just like God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? We are a triune being as well. So we're body, soul, spirit. And as we talk about the body, soul, and the spirit, I know that each aspect is very multifaceted. So we're not going to talk about the body as much tonight. We're not going to necessarily talk about the spirit tonight. We're going to focus on the soul and why it's important and what we can do to cultivate our soul to be more Christ-like. All right, Romans chapter 12 says something interesting. No, let me say this. Our soul, does anybody know what our soul is made up of? Mind, our mind, our will, and our emotions. So the rest of the time, we're going to be talking about those three things. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Okay? Romans chapter 12 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove, right? That you may prove what the will of God is, his good, acceptable, and perfect will. So, all right, let me say this. If Paul is suggesting that we transform our mind, then I think the thing we can extrapolate from that is that something's wrong with our mind. Would y'all agree with that? I mean, Something has to be fundamentally wrong with our mind if Paul is suggesting that the transformation needs to take place, that something transforming has to happen in our mind, right? So how do we renew the mind? Let me say this. So there are things about, anybody ever heard about neural pathways? Okay. So neural pathways is an interesting concept. It's kind of taken some speed in the last couple of years, if you will. And it has to do with how our brain works and operates. I can speak for myself, and I've talked to a lot of people over the years who would concur with this, that most of us have things going on in our head that are not Christ-like. Anybody? Okay, all right. So these are the things that Paul is talking about, that a transformation has to take place. I think sometimes as Christians, we get very frustrated because we're taught very early on, ask Jesus into your heart. He's going to come in. He's going to save you. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And he's done all the work, which he has. I don't want to misrepresent that. He has done all the work. But how many of you know that you still struggle? And there's still things that roll around in your brain on a regular basis that I believe the Holy Spirit really wants to address and tackle and talk about. So I'm going on the premise that if we're supposed to renew our mind, then there must be something fundamentally going on there that we need renewal. I grew up in a very volatile home, if you will, right? So for me, there were things that I learned at an early age, or it registered in my brain at an early age that, you know, you got to do everything right. You have to know all the answers. And if you don't, something's wrong with you, right? So I'm just using that as an example, is that there are thought processes that we battle on a daily basis in our mind that the Holy Spirit wants to renew. And that's a process. Now, there are things I think the Holy Spirit can come in and fundamentally bring healing and restoration to where we're, you know, hey, I don't think about that anymore. I don't have to deal with that anymore. Great. But then I do think that there are things going on in our brain that continue to roll. Anybody got something on repeat? Yeah, it's not fun. Hang on, sorry. So when we talk about neural pathways, it's an interesting concept in that our brains are wired to take the quickest path, right? So let's say that I learned very early on that I'm trying to think of a good example. I didn't have one written down. Let's say from a very early age, I learned that, if I ride my bike to the store and I take the highway, it's faster, but it's not as safe because I have to drive with cars, right? So I take trails through the woods, bike trails, right? And these are trails that have already been laid down before me, right? So these are kind of thought. And so if we correlate, these are thought processes that we have in our brain. Our brains are wired to take the fastest route. So if somebody says, I don't like you, right? And you're triggered by the fact that you want people to like you, then that may register, well, I'm bad. Like something's fundamentally wrong in me. That's a thought process that goes on in our brains. Neural pathways are how we register. And so let me put it this way. Let's say you go out to your backyard. You've got like grass growing in your backyard, and you put a fountain at the very back corner, And I walk out to that fountain every day in a straight line for 100 days. What do you think is going to happen going out that direction? You're going to wear a path, aren't you? It's going to wear down a path, and eventually it's going to be very easy to get back there because there's a path. Now, what would happen if I decided to take a different route to get back to the fountain?
It would be
a little tougher, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be as easy. Especially if I'm going out there in the dark or I can't see. There's a pathway already made, and for ease, for convenience, that's the pathway I want to take. But if I want to create a new pathway, how do you know that takes time? It takes the same 100 days of walking that new path and letting that old path grow up before I can have a different way to get there. So what I'm suggesting is there's part of renewing our mind that has to take place. You ever heard the term stinking thinking? You know, there's thought processes that we have that are just ungodly, and they're not Christ-like. And we have to actually begin to take responsibility for those thought patterns that we have. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I use the King James in this instance. Any King Jamers in here? So I want to point out that it's not a thought that Solomon is talking about in this proverb. They use the ending ETH in thinketh. And when you see the ending ETH on a word in the King James, anybody know what that means? It's a present progressive ongoing participle. So what that means is it's an ongoing, continual process that's happening. So as a man thinketh, as he continually thinks in his mind, so is he. It's not the one-time thought that gets us so much in trouble. It's the repetitive. It's the loop. It's the ongoing process of listening to that on repeat in our brain. I know y'all don't do that. All right. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So there's a process in which the word gives us that we can actually begin to renew our mind, right? I want renewing my mind to be a one-time, one-shot deal. I want to say, Lord, renew my mind, and it be renewed, and, you know, we just go on about living. But I've found in my years of walking with the Lord that there's some effort, there's some work on my part that I have to begin to agree with the Holy Spirit as he's bringing truth to my life, right? Because how many of you know the truth doesn't go on repeat? It's the lie that gets repeated over and over and over and over in your life, you know? And so the Bible clearly tells us that we have to cast down those thoughts. We have to take them captive, right? Take them captive. And so when I have a thought, what this is saying is I need to compare it to Christ. If it doesn't match up, then my job is to, like, no, that's not right. And then we begin to replace it because, again, it's that neural pathway. It's easy to believe the lie because the lie's been there since you were little, right? It's been... You got a great pathway to the lie. But to begin to wear down a new path, we have to begin to replace it with something else. I need a different pathway. How many of you know that's not easy? Like, that part is very difficult. Because does this new truth that the Holy Spirit's trying to introduce to you feel more truthful or real than the lie you've believed your whole life? Right? And so it begins to take work. And so we're called as believers to allow that renewal to take place in our mind, to begin to hold captive that thought and begin to cast it down and replace it with something truthful, something that the Holy Spirit brings to you. So anybody in some practical ways to renew our mind as we talked about that? Any thoughts? Yeah, great. It's hard to replace the truth with a lie if I don't know the truth, right? So part of that is absolutely reading our word, finding some verses that you can memorize, finding some things that you can like refer back to very easily, very quickly. Good. What else? Pray. A lot. Yeah. And not to put you on the spot, but like what type of prayer? How we pray and when these things happened? Okay. Yeah.
Relational. But you know the Lord.
Yep.
Don't always have to be super deep, but
yeah. This is exactly right. If we go look at David, and we'll talk about this a little bit when we talk about emotions, but David was very good at processing his thoughts and his emotions. We have a whole book, if you didn't know that, called the Psalms, where David processes his thoughts and his emotions. Very important. Very important. All right. So let's talk, and some of these are going to be like intertwined a little bit. So let's talk about emotions. How many of y'all like emotions? Some of them. There's quite a few I could do without. Some seem like useless. All right, I'm going to give you a statement. It's kind of funny, but it's true. I've heard it said that emotions are like kids in a car. You don't want them driving, but you can't put them in the trunk either. So when we talk about emotions, people are either seem to be one way or the other, very, very polarizing in that respect. We have people that you know, not anybody here, obviously, but some people will let emotions drive the car all day long. And then you have other people who I know aren't here either, who just are completely devoid and just would rather put all their emotions in the trunk and not ever think about them or look at them, right? My wife is one of them. and I'm on the opposite, so I'm tending to let the kids drive the car, you know, on a regular. But in reality, like, where's a good safe place for kids to ride in the car? In the back seat. Yeah, back seat. Keeping with the analogy, I can keep an eye on them. They're there. I know we can interact. You know, we can talk things out, but they don't have to drive the car. I think that's an important thing. So, yeah, going back to growing up in a volatile house, one of the things that I learned a lie, but I learned early on, is that anger has a action. And that action is violent. And that is, and so growing up, it was very quick that I decided in my heart, and I can remember making this declaration, is I don't want to be angry, right? I don't want to be angry. So anybody want to take some guesses as to how that played out through most of my life? I avoided conflict. Yeah. I did not develop the ability to have healthy conflict, right? Because to be angry was to be volatile. Like I didn't feel like I could control it. So I would just rather avoid it. What else do you think was a result of putting my anger in the trunk? Okay.
Like we're like very isolated off, like you mentioned, and kind of just super so well.
I feel seen. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. What else? Any other thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't process my emotions. The other interesting thing that I would tell you is when you put one emotion in the trunk, I promise you, there's others you're putting there. You think it's just one, but you're actually stunting and like blunting all your other emotions. So your ability to be super happy, super joyful, is also blunted by the fact that you have not processed anger. Does that make sense, what we're saying? So there are emotions that are important to process in our life. How many of you know God has emotion? Everybody all right with that? Okay, all right, good. God has emotion. And so when it says God was angry in the Bible, how many of you know for 35 years I've read that and gone, God was violent? Like God was volatile? God was uncontrolled, right? Can we be real? Like, is that all right? So, like, that's the emotional, when we begin to not process our emotions well or even let our emotions run wild, there's not a balance there in our life. And so part of cultivating our soul is recognizing that we have emotions, is allowing the Holy Spirit to process those emotions with you. But they don't have to drive the ship. They don't have to be the very thing that drives your actions and reactions. Anybody ever heard of triggers? Anybody got any triggers? No. Good. Awesome. Oh, I wrote down a few statements, so I'm going to read them because I don't know that I could remember them well. Triggers are irrational responses to a situation or an event that causes a barrage of emotions. Anybody identify with that? What's that? Yeah. Triggers are irrational responses to a situation or an event that causes a barrage of emotions. A trigger consists of a thought like I feel disregarded, inadequate, powerless, or unsupported. Along with that would come emotions of anger, sadness, guilt, shame, and or fear. Anybody ever experienced those? Just a little. The amount of emotion attached to a thought, this is interesting. Ready? Log this in. The amount of emotion attached to a thought determines the size and potential impact of the trigger, and triggers are often like dominoes. Okay, so the amount of you ever had a reaction that was just like wild, and you're like, "What? I don't know why I'm feeling this. This is crazy. What is going on? This doesn't make sense." And with it comes all these emotions, right? The bigger the trigger, the bigger the emotional response. Like, that's a big check engine light in your life. Anybody ever had a check engine light come on in their car and you didn't do anything about it? And eventually the car breaks down, leaves you on the side of the road or something. Well, that's what when we have these triggers, guys, this is the thing that sidelines us. This is the thing that derails us in our walk with the Lord, because we have this irrational response. It manifests in an outward way that is unhealthy. And when we do that, it brings shame, guilt, condemnation, because we've acted in a manner that was not Christ-like. Does that make sense? Is this interesting at all? So, this is why it's important is if we don't have good emotional health, then our soul is not whole. One of the things the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our life is to make us whole, right? Anybody ever had anxiety, depression, right? These can be responses to lies, triggers that build up in our life. And the Holy Spirit is really trying to bring us to a place where we can be emotionally healthy, where I can have anger, as the Bible says, and sin not. That's my goal. I'm just being honest. Like, I haven't quite gotten there to release that yet. My wife looked at me. She goes, "Why are you so mad?" I'm like, "I'm not mad." How many times that happened? Quite a bit. And I'm just in denial, like, not mad. Because it's the one emotion that just scares the bejeebies out of me. I don't know how to handle it. Right? I don't know what to do with it. That's just being honest and real. But I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. I want Him to show me how to deal with this emotion. And I would venture to guess that you probably have an emotion in your life that you've probably don't know how to deal with well, you know? And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, is He wants to come in and bring emotional stability and balance to your life. So what are some ways we do that? Same, almost with the renewing of the mind. It's very similar in that there's a process in which we talk with God. We process those emotions out. Again, David, I believe the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And I've contemplated that scripture for years. And just in the last couple of years, I've just come to really believe and feel like he was a man after God's own heart because he processed his life with God. Like, he processed his emotions. He processed his will. He processed his mind with him. He wasn't afraid or ashamed to be like, you know, I'm struggling. I'm battling. I've got enemies all around me. You know, I need help. You know, like, he wasn't afraid to do some of those things and kind of crack his chest open and say, "Here I am." I think some of the issue or the problem we have throughout our life is that we go, "Yeah, God knows who I am. He knows my heart." You know, and maybe y'all said that before. God knows my heart, and He does. But does He know it from you? Right? Does He know it from you? Have you processed that out with Him? Have you talked to Him about those things? Have you shared those things out loud? Like, not a conversation just in your head, but actually processing them out loud. David wrote songs about all this, and he was a man after God's own heart. So I think there's something we can learn from that. Journaling is a great practical way to do that. I think that can be very helpful to journal out thoughts, feelings, emotions. Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. And I believe that was a time of the two of them to process together. That was a time where Adam began to reflect on the day's activities and talking with him. And God was like, "Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? You know, like, you saw the aardvark for the first time." I don't know. You know, but there were different things that Adam saw, and he wanted to process them with God. So God came and walked with him in the cool of the evening to do that.
Hey guys, this is Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider joining Presence Pioneers Premium, our brand new subscriber community. Paid subscribers will get exclusive premium content such as bonus podcast episodes, exclusive articles, early releases, and more. Presence Pioneers will be releasing its first e-course in 2024, with many more to come. And the Presence Pioneers premium subscribers will always have full access to the entire library of online courses. Visit media.presencepioneers.org or click the link in the description to join today. You can become a premium member today for an introductory price of only $5 a month. When the price goes up in the future, as our library of resources grows, you can stay subscribed at the original price. If you've enjoyed our podcast for a while, becoming a premium member is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this podcast and partner with Presence Pioneers in equipping the church with resources for day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
Right. All right. This thing keeps shutting off quickly. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So, we have these scriptures from God that just really, God knows we're anxious. He knows that we have anxious thoughts, but are we processing them out with Him? Are we really talking to Him about those things? Let's see. I talked about that. All right. Emotions. Any thoughts, questions? Again, interactive.
Davis with words.
Yeah, fear. Anger. Guilt. Shame. Joy. Sadness. Grief. Hopelessness. Hope. Any others? Yeah. So, there it's interesting. I was, I saw it for the first time probably a couple months ago. There's actually an emotion wheel. And if you haven't seen it, just look it up, like Google it. It's interesting. And for somebody like me who doesn't know how to process their emotions, but lets them drive, which that's wild. somebody has a hard time processing emotion. So this is an emotional wheel, and you kind of start with some basic emotions in the middle, and then you kind of hone into that. And what it does is it helps you to figure out what you're actually feeling, right? It doesn't tell you what you're feeling, but like it kind of steers you in the right direction of what gives you the words. Yes, thank you. It gives it can be a really neat tool to look at and help you process through some of those emotions to figure out what exactly you are or might be feeling, right? We don't need to be afraid of them. Okay. Lastly, and this will be quicker because it really wraps up the other two nicely, but our will. Anybody got any thoughts about our will?
Ken, his brother, used to say, I said, you'd ask, how do you put so well?
I will it.
And when you start hearing it, that mindset of just going through something, regardless of the obstacles, and through the obstacles,
absolutely.
Criticism, Beijing made here. I just thought that was a neat place. He's a good guy.
That triggered in. So I'm going to say something. How many of you want to be in the will of God? Okay, good. That's good. Some couple, maybe not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So we want to operate. We want to be under God's will, right? That seems to be the the goal of most of our lives is we want to obey God and be in His will. I would almost venture to say that you will not be able to follow God's will if you are not healthy in your emotions or healthy in your mind. Until you come to a place of really confronting and dealing with those two other aspects, go back to Romans 12. What did it say? The transforming of your mind, the renewing of your mind, the transformation of your mind that takes place will help you to what? What's the back half? Anyone? Bueller? So that we can know the will of God, His good, pleasing, and perfect will, right? So it's as my mind is transformed, as my emotions are healed, that I can actually begin to live out more effectively the will of God in my life. It's hard for me to follow the will of God when I'm dealing with pain, unhealed pain, unhealed trauma, when I'm dealing with lies that are rolling around in my head. It's hard for me to actually live out the will of God if I'm still struggling with those things. I want to, right? But when those are clouding the picture, how many of you know when you're in pain, you'll do anything to make it stop? Why do people turn to bad habits of any kind? Because it's pain. They're in pain and they're trying to figure out some way to soothe that pain. So if I'm constantly worried about self-soothing the pain that I have because I've not dealt with the emotions and the mindset and the lies that I deal with on a daily basis, then how can I expect to actually follow the will of God? It's not His fault. He's given me everything I need to live a life of godliness. Right? That's the hope. That's the joy. Is He's given me what I need. He's provided me with the Holy Spirit. He's injected His DNA in me. He's given me the ability to do these things. But I have to process them with Him. And then as I get healed, as my mind is healed, as the lies begin to dispel, as the emotional healing takes place in my heart, then I can actually begin to live out the will of God. Y'all ever struggle with the will of God? Yeah, the same. But I believe that's at the root, because until my soul is whole and healthy, I'm not going to be able to process the will of God effectively in my life. I'm not saying you can't do some things to the will of God. I'm not suggesting that. But I just mean when there's unresolved pain and hurt and trauma in your life, you will not be able to effectively walk out the will of God. Does that make sense? And that's what I believe He wants to help you with, is as we talk about cultivating my soul, those are the three areas of my life that are in a constant state of transformation, right? My body is going to die. I don't think Jesus is trying to renew my body, right? I'm going to get a resurrected body. My spirit, the moment I invite Jesus to come in, I believe my spirit was made eternal. So I don't think we're dealing with a spirit issue, and we're not having to really deal with a body issue, because I'm not, like, this body's going to fade away. My soul is what will transfer throughout eternity. Does that make sense? And so that's the part we continue to deal with, battle with, struggle with here. And I believe that's the other reason why He gave us the Holy Spirit, is because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our guide. He's our counselor. He can help you in all those processes. He can help you to walk through those things, but we have to be willing to open up and process those with Him and not be afraid. Not too much. All right. This may seem just a little, I didn't really know how long I would take, so Daniel, want to come up and play? Who's Daniel? Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead. No. You go ahead. Do what you got to do. I want to read a passage, and I hope maybe will y'all indulge me to read just a few minutes?
Yeah.
Matthew touched on it a little bit. I got to have glasses. I'm old. This part of the body, this decaying flesh, a dirt bag with eyes, right? So starting at Romans chapter 7, and I hope this maybe will make sense to you even more so now in light of some of what we talked about tonight. Chapter 7 of Romans, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But I am doing the very thing I do not wish. I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." All right. "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." I hope that takes on a little bit different perspective in what Paul was talking about. He recognized the struggle, the wrestle within himself, but attributing it to sin, and that there's a nature in us that battles between the mind and the Spirit. Let's pray for a minute. I just feel like the Holy Spirit wanted to do something real quick. Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you that in you is hope. You are the hope of the world. Lord, we look to you, Father, to heal our wounds. And that was the promise of the Messiah, was that when he came, he would bind up their wounds. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your strength. Father, thank you that you're the great healer. Lord, thank you that you never leave us, never forsake us. So I thank you that you're with me. No matter where I go, I'll never be alone. You'll never take off. And I just thank you for that. Thank you for your love, Jesus.